TNR.
I heard you like to party.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I mean, that's not the way human beings act.
Follow these guys on Twitter at Toucher and Rich.
Boy, did Twitter explode.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume.
Oh, this is fantastic.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. 617-779-0985. I will take no calls disparaging Sarge today.
Thank you.
There was too many of them yesterday, and I am not in the business of making Sarge feel bad every day.
Oh, it's okay.
I don't want to do that 2 days in a row, Sarge.
Appreciate it, friend.
It's not even for you as much as it is just it's not good.
Yeah.
Don't need that.
Good boy.
But I do want feedback on this from the audience. 617-779-0985, because there was something that was very controversial. Now, I'm not casting dispersions on this person. I'm not. This is a philosophical question. Okay? So, I was vilified and destroyed. Other radio stations talked about me and played audio of it, and here I am. And it's funny because people of much more prominence at the station have no problem doing this. But I had been in trouble for being late to the radio station. See, when I'm late to the radio station, I'm the first voice that comes out on the air. And when I'm late, at least with prior management, corporate guys would go like, what the hell is Fred not there? I was like, swear to God, people in New York would be like, even if I was 10 minutes late, this chain of garbage would go on where someone from New York would call Mark Hannon, who would call Mike Thomas, and this whole thing would occur. Like 5 minutes late, because corporate would like the show. There would be guys who, for fun, listen to the show. So, which should tell you something about the prospects of this show going forward. So, even though one of the guys is gone now. But the...
Future is bright, Freddie T.
We'll see.
Prior ownership, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're a lot moved
right.
to Entercom.
Right. Correct.
Even though one of our biggest proponents just left Entercom. But nonetheless, Olivero loved us. But so the big thing was I would have Nick call me in the morning just to make sure that I was up, just as a failsafe to make sure that I was up. I didn't ask him to call at 4:30. I didn't ask him to call. I said, call me at 5:35. It's by far the latest I could possibly get up. Just call. And the conversation consists of, hey, you up? I say, yeah. And then that's it. Mike Lockhart, who's a full-time employee, has absolutely no problem. Unless I'm mistaken.
No. I set an alarm. It goes off. We talk for 5 seconds, and that's it.
And that's it. I don't find it. Do you find it demeaning?
No, not at all.
I mean,
it's just a part of my job. You know what I mean?
As long as the person was awake and working that day and already up anyway, I'd see
it's
absolutely
5:35. Yeah. I mean, Bird comes
see nothing
in,
wrong with that.
And I say, Bird, I offhandly say, hey, Bird, thanks for calling me today. And he goes ballistic on me.
Ooh.
Starts. You didn't hear that?
No, I was in here talking.
You
to
never
Hex.
Heard this?
No, not today.
This is what happened in the
a few
past.
Months ago.
This
was, oh, yeah.
this
oh, was I months did hear ago. This. Yes, yes.
So, yeah, so he goes ballistic on me, and I go, just leave. And so we get in this fight. Now we're not in a fight about it anymore, but Bird will not call me. Now, today, 617-779-0985. Bird today was, how late was he, Tracy?
I don't know, probably 10 minutes.
Okay, 10 minutes, no big deal, right? Bird being late by 10 minutes means nothing. I'm telling you, corporate would get on me if I was 10 minutes late. Like, they would, people in CBS corporate would know if I was 10 minutes late. And I have not been late since I've been getting these phone calls, I have not been late to work. It's been since March of last year since I've been late to work. So I've taken this very seriously. So doesn't anyone find it a little bit odd, or should I say ironic? Not even ironic. That's a misuse of the term.
Yeah, it's not. That's an Alanis Morris ironic.
Yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing. Doesn't anyone find it odd that Bird is 10 minutes late, but it's too much for Bird to call me to make sure that I'm not 10 minutes late? Because wouldn't you sympathize with the person that you're supposed to call when you show up late? Like, when Bird shows up late, it doesn't, like, destroy the show. It's not... I'm not overvaluing myself. I'm saying that it's a big deal to people in the building. I'm sure the audience could give a rat's ass if I'm here or not for the first 10 minutes of the show. But don't you think that it's a little hypocritical of Bird not to call me when he himself is late?
Don't
kiss my ass. If you think I'm being a diva, tell me.
I think Bird's whole carefree attitude is amazing. You know, he shows up when he feels like showing up. He says he doesn't want to call you anymore.
He's on time. And listen, he goes and gets audio. I told you, I'm not making fun of Bird.
All right.
I'm asking, just because I was destroyed. It was big news. People emailing me and saying how terrible I am and what a diva I am. There's other shows talking about me and how diva-ish it is, which I cannot wrap my head around. What? But you would think that I have no idea why it's a big deal. I have no idea. I have no idea why it's demeaning to anybody. I don't know what the deal is. I'm the host of the show. I have to be here on time. It's a nice fail-safe. I don't get Lockhart. He's got a 401k and insurance and everything else, and he doesn't seem to have a... He's very valuable to the show. I never even asked him to do it. I never even asked you to call me.
No, I just figured Bird wasn't doing it, so I might as well.
Yeah, so Lockhart, like, does it. Like, I never even asked him.
See, I think Bird's a sneaky genius because he didn't want to call you anymore, and he started this whole thing so he didn't have to call
you.
But
why? Wouldn't it just be easier to do it?
I think this was the devious mind of Bird.
Wouldn't it just be
at work to create this whole situation?
Wouldn't it be just easier? He did it. He did it for a long time, and then just one day he didn't.
But that's what I'm saying, though. After that blow up, he stopped calling you. I think that might have been his devious way of not having to call you.
What am I going
to
do? Tell a grown man that, like, beg a grown man to call me?
He just tweets out.
Bird's ready.
Bird's on Twitter.
He's flapping his wings.
That's right. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey. Well, the reason that you don't understand this, right, is because you're a sociopathic narcissist. You don't understand it.
I'm not a sociopathic narcissist. I'm a narcissist, but it's not sociopathic.
Well, the point isn't that, like, you know, I think you should have a wake-up call. That's not the issue, you know. Have it worked into your next contract. There's services out there.
I'm not going to have that work it into a contract. That's a big waste of time. Mike Lockhart calls me. Tracy Clemens calls me.
Mike Lockhart, why is it so easy for you to just to do that, right? Like, you can do that. You can call him.
Yeah.
You can, right? It's not a big deal.
No, I have an alarm that goes off, and I just call him, and 10 seconds later, it's over.
You're a responsible adult that, you know, has his head on his shoulders. So, Fred, why can't you be that responsible adult and have your head on his shoulders in that way?
Because it's a absolute fail-safe. Say the power goes out at my house. Okay? Say something happens, and my phone screws up, and it's a fail-safe. It's something to make sure. I was getting in a lot of trouble. I was going to get in a lot of trouble at work for being late. It's just a parachute for me not to be late.
And that's the thing. I think people think that you're being called to be woken up in the morning, which isn't true.
It's just a last resort. It's 5:35 in the morning. We go on the air at 6.
You're up and on your way
First of all, I never told Lockhart to call me. And Lockhart is a full-time employee of the station. I want to make that clear. He's not, I don't want to make it sound like he's some intern running around. He's a full-time employee of the station, very important to the show. He's been with us for years. I'm not asking anyone to get up at 4 in the morning and to wake up and drag their asses out of bed and call me. This is like a last resort. Lockhart gets here at the, I already mentioned you, Nick. You're sitting at home like flowers in the attic.
How is Nick doing, by the way? Is he doing good?
I guess.
How many alarms do you have, Fred? How many alarms do you have?
Two now.
Okay.
Nick, go ahead.
What's going on, Freddy T?
Hey, what's up?
Okay. I think it's a little hypocritical of Bird showing up late. However, this does prove that it probably wasn't the best idea for Bert to be calling you.
That's a great point.
Yes.
If he's late,
true.
And, you know, he's calling you at 10 past 6, then you're going to be,
That's the best point that's been made.
I think it puts a lot, I mean, if it was me, I'd probably be more comfortable with Mike Lockhart calling me than Bert.
Well, that's a very rational point that
There's
makes
no
a lot of sense.
No question about that. You'd be picking Lockhart over Bert for the wake-up call every day of the week.
But I didn't want to ask Mike to do it. It never occurred to me to ask Mike to do it. He just started doing it because who cares? But that is an excellent point. I mean, if someone's going to be late, I mean, what the hell is the point of them? And who knows? Maybe he's not even up at 5:35, as far as I know. Mitch, go ahead.
Fred,
you sound like a nagging wife. You just cannot let this go. You cannot let this go. The man is late, so what? What does that have to do with you in your wake-up call? What does that have to do with anything?
Because the idea is that he is late himself, but he couldn't understand why I would request a fail-safe phone call.
No, man, you're a grown man, brother. Get up.
Well, that meant physically, but not mentally.
I see. This is ridiculous. Get the guy a break. This is months ago, man. Come on.
He was late today. Well, first of all, I have nothing to talk about today. So give me a break.
Yes. The truth comes out.
I mean, it's Friday of the week of the 4th of July. It's not exactly brimming with action.
Bird has just taken the brunt of the slow news day.
So let's slow our roll on what we should be talking about today.
I was listening to the guys covering in for Felger and Matt yesterday. They were talking about cats and, you know, all different kind of bears and everything.
Oh, all right. Well, but listen, at least you called in, so it has to be somewhat compelling to you. We agree with that.
It is.
All right. Thank you.
You were sitting there waiting for him like, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We went to break, and I thought I'll break Bird's balls for a while. Yes, Sarge.
Fred, to your point, though, you are an easy target for people, okay? You're here to host. The corporate people have a microscope on you. So if you're late, someone is going to notice that right away. And listeners, unfortunately, you do have fans and you don't have fans, and they're going to call you out. So you're in a position.
This was not.
But I'm just saying that's.
This was listeners that liked the show and like me. This transcended. It wasn't trolls. People were genuinely. They thought I was diva-esque behavior, is what they were saying.
Toucher and Rich.
Self-help shenanigans.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, D, that's me, the king, the MC. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Haggerty just made an interesting point. And what was that, Haggerty, about what the Boston Public Library has done?
Oh, yeah, you haven't seen that?
Josh Fowler from NBC Sports Boston sent me your high school yearbook photo and quote.
Yes.
But I didn't know that everyone's was available.
Yeah, it's all across Massachusetts. I think they put them all on digitally so you can get them.
Roaches is up?
Oh, yeah.
With words?
No, BZTV did a segment yesterday on it.
Okay, it doesn't have words, it's just
his
photo?
Has a senior picture, yeah.
All right, find Sarge's. If you can find Sarge's...
Oh, my picture's terrible.
Jimmy Stewart. Oh.
Jimmy was Newton South.
Oh, he's Newton South?
Kid. I'm Needham High.
I know where you went, my friend.
We should get that wonderful picture. There it is! Yes!
Oh, my gosh. I mean,
look at that kid. He's got this whole world in front of him right there.
Okay,
fresh-faced.
So your quote is, time goes so fast, it's hard to believe that just yesterday you were home...
Here with me.
Here with me. I'm going to cut off some of the letters. And tomorrow when...
Hey, you look good there, buddy.
Thank you, pal.
When the bus brings you home and you jump to the ground, you'll be wearing your cap and graduation gown. So I'm holding... these moments as hard as I can, because the next time I look, I'll be a man.
That's great journalism. I'll be seeing a man. It was written by my dad. It was a poem written by my dad when I was born.
Very nice.
So crap on it, Fred, please.
What, was he dead or something?
No. You son of a bitch. He's alive. I could call him to come down and kick your ass right now if you want.
Why, because I asked if he died?
Yes.
You know, human beings do that. You were acting like it was such a special thing. I was wondering if he got mauled by a cat or something.
He's still in good fighting shape, the Stump Haggerty. He's ready to go.
But he wrote you like a little poem there when you were born?
He wrote, yeah. When I was a kid, he wrote a poem when I was just born. Yeah.
Just trying to find Wallace.
Well, I got everything Wallace ever done.
Yeah.
That's what the Irish do, Fred. You know, we take pen to paper and write poetry and songs.
How come
and
I'm half
and
Irish and I don't walk around screaming about Ireland all
Clearly
the time.
It's the wrong half.
What else are you, German?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got that right, baby.
That's right. It's all good, baby.
You got that right, baby.
It's all good, baby. Yeah!
As soon as I saw my picture, I wanted to see Sarge's, too. I'm fascinated by whatever Sarge looks like.
But it's not good unless there's words. By the way, and my my great grandfather drove for the whatever the stupid Irish mob that drove the politicians around.
NRA or no IRA?
No, 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 not the one in New York. The there's some name for it.
Not Sinn Féin.
No,
no.
Someone tweet Haggerty and tell me what they drove the politicians around, and my grandfather was dumped. Him and my Uncle Vincent, I have, like, the greatest Irish story, but I don't run around thumping my chest about it. My Uncle Vincent and my grandfather came over to, from Ireland. My grandfather's mother died, and then his father ran to go drive for the mob. They stuck him with his sisters, three of them who lived in a house, and they made him work. So he was the janitor at his middle school while he was going to middle school. My Uncle Vincent became the chief of police of Jamaica Queens.
Really?
So, but I don't run around yelling and screaming about it all the time like Haggerty over here.
What am I yelling and screaming about?
You've mentioned that you're Irish 55 times already today on the show.
I mentioned it once.
Oh, no, before that.
I said my name's son's name, and you started ranting and raving about me, him having an Irish name.
Nah,
I could when I was in Belfast... When the Bruins were there in 2010, I had a San Francisco Giants hat that sometimes I would just wear randomly because I liked the hat and had an S and F on it.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yo, man, I don't think they heard you. Won't you tell them what your name is?
Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina, Mr. Bob Doubleina. Mr. Doubleina.
Mr. Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, Mr. Bob Dabalina, won't you quit? You really make me sick with your fraudulent behavior. You're going to make me sip and then an army couldn't say.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. If anyone can tell me what the sample Mr. Dabalina is from, I will give you $1,000. I will honestly give you $1,000. It's a famous band. Might as well take a chance. I'll give you $1,000 if you can tell me.
Famous band?
Just a sample, Mr. No, you can't Google it, stupid. I'm sitting right across the
What am I doing? You start using your computer. I'm computing right there.
All right.
Not touching. I don't know.
Just you might as well take a shot in the dark. I will write you a check for $1,000.
The Beatles.
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wind and Fire.
No, it's the Monkees.
The Monkees?
Oh, on his really? Unreleased song.
Oh, really?
Delta Funky Homo Sapien found that. Absolutely.
Well, how the hell would I know it's the Monkees then if it's an unreleased song? That's
because maybe you were aficionado. How did I know?
Because you clearly like the song.
Well, how would you know? I mean, how would you?
I mean,
how
liked
would
this
I know?
Song. I didn't love this song. It was okay.
You never,
Mr. Bob Dabalina was fairly catchy.
You never dug into what the samples were from?
No.
You never listened to the hip hop songs when back when it was a genre that actually mattered?
No. You know what I would do? I would only like after I heard it like originally somewhere else. I'd be like, oh, that's where that song came from. But I never really dug in on it.
Because there's this kid, Little Yachty, and I swear we'll get to sports. But there's this kid, Little Yachty, that Mike sent me this story about. He considers himself like one of the balls. He's the fourth ball kid. He considers himself LeVar Ball, you know.
Oh, okay.
And he released a record, and people were like, it's terrible, but it doesn't matter. Like, for his brand, it's almost better that it sucks. So, to my understanding now, in the world of hip-hop, he did like a fashion show for Kanye West. He has partnered with like sneaker companies to like come up with new shoes.
So he's in no matter what.
Yeah, but like it under the guise of being a hip hop artist.
Right.
But Complex said like it doesn't matter. Like this record is awful. He can't rap. It's terrible. But it doesn't in the grand scheme of things. It doesn't matter. So now I can be a hip hop artist. And just have no skills and suck. But if I position and market myself correctly, it doesn't matter. And it's not like this one thing where, like, critics say it sucks and people love it.
No. Yeah.
Like it is universally loathed.
But that's because it's about the marketing now.
But there
are
always...
Music.
Right. But in
that's
the,
it.
But there was branding and things like that. But you became more famous through it. But at the foundation of it
was that at least some people liked what you were doing. Like, at the foundation of it is, like, people, like, say the Spice Girls aren't the greatest thing in the world, but people liked their music.
Yeah.
Like, critics hated it, but people liked it. This is a guy who, like, no one likes his stuff. Like, nobody. It's universally loathed. So I fell down that rabbit hole yesterday for about an hour trying to figure out how you can just suck and it doesn't even matter anymore.
He's perfect with the Ball family because those guys could all suck at basketball and they're still going to be famous and known too. Same thing.
Are you sure there's no swears? This is Lil Yachty.
I know you want this for life.
Is that his
taking
voice?
Taking pictures with all my eyes. But
right. He's going to say the N-word soon.
No why? I just want you for the night.
Sounds like he's half asleep.
I know you want this for life.
I mean, it's terrible. And it's not because I'm old and, like, 43 years old. No, it's bad. It's bad. It's really, really bad. And it doesn't matter. It's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I spent a good hour yesterday trying to figure out why it doesn't matter anymore. Like, fans
but
of yours. But fans of Lil Yachty know his music sucks, but are still fans of him. Like, he's not on a TV show. He's not. He wants to be on Atlanta. I know way too much about Lil Yachty now. But fans of his, like, consume his material even though they hate it.
Because they have no taste.
No, but...
But it's,
no,
because it's about the marketing.
No, but there's a difference.
Not, they don't care about the music. They just care about, like, whatever. The
yes,
dude.
But there's a difference between they having no taste in music. I mean, there's a bunch of people that like stupid bands. Like the Grateful Dead have a bunch of lemmings that follow them that don't know what they're even hearing.
Yeah, but at least they've had good songs.
No, they haven't.
The Grateful Dead?
No.
Sure they have.
But that's a difference because idiots like you think that they've made good music.
I'm not a Deadhead by any means, but I enjoy some of their songs. I think you're way too much on the other side if you
what
say they
song?
Didn't do anything worth
what
listening
What song
to.
Do you like by
I
that?
I like Shakedown Street. I like Terrapin Station.
How does Shakedown Street go?
Something happened on Shakedown Street. Used to be a part of town. You know that song.
No, I really don't. How long is it?
You don't know Shakedown Street?
No.
Come on.
No, I know Touch of Grey and Uncle John's Band.
Yeah, okay.
Those are the two songs I know.
Ripple's good. I think that's Jerry Garcia.
Now, how long are they?
Terrapin's a long song.
How long?
Shakedown Street. Shakedown Street is like Disco Dead. That was like the late 70s when they came out with that, and it's often referred to as Disco Dead.
I wonder if they have had an album that sold a million copies.
I know, well, obviously Touch of Grey was their only hit, so I would imagine that one, whatever album that was on, was probably their biggest. Yeah, this is Shakedown Street.
This is good to you.
I like this. Yeah. You can do a little hippie dance into this, Fred.
Are they doing another?
What about this is good?
I like this. This is better than Lil Yachty. You freaking
yes,
yeah,
it is.
I'll give you that, yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
The point I was making is that people have no taste in, like, terrible music, but at least they like the music.
Yep.
Lil Yachty, like, no, like, people just don't like it. All right.
But there's something to be said for either being spectacularly good or spectacularly horrible, right? Either way, you're going to move the needle. If you're truly, truly awful like Lil Yachty, you're going to move the needle a little bit.
I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand how that happens. All right, we will talk about the Bruins when we come back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Hatcher and Rich. Right now, the Bruins seem to be being lapped a little bit by, obviously, Tavares going to... Toronto, not great news for the Bruins, even though they still lack any kind of defensive talent. But now there is rumors, Haggerty, that Tampa Bay could be getting richer. Tell us that situation.
Yeah, there were reports late last night that the final touches were being put on Eric Karlsson going to the Tampa Bay Lightning. It had been speculated for a long time. Back even when the All-Star game was in Tampa last season and, you know, Victor Hedman and Eric Karlsson were kind of palling around, it seemed like maybe that might be a spot for him. Sounds like they're trying to work out the details on potentially a three-team deal. Might be the Rangers, might be the Devils. But the end result would be Carlson goes to Tampa Bay and they become even more of a super team than they are already.
Right, because if you get Carlson, what are the particulars? What are you going to have to give up to get him?
Well, I mean, they're obviously, I think they're going to have to give up Sergachev, their young defenseman. They're probably going to have to give up some salary, so maybe like a Ryan Callahan, probably like a first-round pick. You know, you're talking a significant package that they're going to have to give up. And I still don't understand quite how they're going to work that out financially and get everybody under the salary cap that they're going to have beyond this season. I mean, Carlson's still signed for 1 year.
Right.
So they can get Carlson in this year and potentially make it work. But I would think he's going to re-sign. He's going to be looking for Drew Doughty-type money, $11 million a year,
for
if not
years.
More. Yeah. So, you know.
And how old is he?
He's going to be 20. He's 28. He'll turn 29 at the end of this season.
With some injury
history. He's had foot problems, a history of them. You know, he's going to want an 8-year deal. He's getting close to 30. He's played a lot. You know, he's defensively, he's not the strongest player in the world. Like, he's obviously, you know, the best offensive defenseman when he's right in the entire NHL, and probably will be for a few years. Like, but signing him to an 8-year contract, that's, I didn't want the Bruins getting involved in
no.
that, because I think it's a bad investment when you combine the players you're going to have to give up with the money and the cap hit you're going to have to give him as well. You're talking about forking over a ton and basically paying for past performance, because I don't know that he's going to be as good beyond a year or two as he was, you know, for the last 5-6 years.
Right.
But for Tampa, I think it makes a little more sense, because they're loaded right now and they're probably going for cups right now the next year, 2-3 years. So for them, I can understand why they're going for broke right now and trying to bring in Carlson. And they're going to be the team to beat in the East. They don't have a weakness like Toronto. Like you said, Toronto still doesn't have a number one defenseman, even though they've got Tavares and Matthews. But I still think, you know, there's a very easy scenario where the Bruins could be the third best team in the NHL and still be the third best team in the Atlantic Division, and that's pretty scary for them.
So if you're the Bruins, does this change the way that you look at what you're doing right now?
I don't think it should, because I don't think you should get in the arms race with Toronto and Tampa. You know, I don't think you sell off your best young players to try to get a veteran guy in here that you think is going to allow you to keep up with them. I think they're on the right path doing what they're doing. Obviously, you're going to give up something to still try to get a top six winger, whether it's Artemi Panarin, whether it's Jeff Skinner, whether it's somebody else.
We had Billy Jaffe on yesterday, and he was very skeptical that they could get Panarin.
Yeah, I think for the biggest reason you don't want to get Panarin, or you're going to question it, is because it sounds like he's not going to sign an extension with anybody. He wants to get to free agency, and the word on the street is he wants to play in New York. So, you know, if you're the Bruins, do you give up all these assets to get this guy for a year, knowing it's very shaky ground that he might not sign with you and he could just walk away at the end of the year? And I think that's where the skepticism comes in, and that's where you have to be careful and why it might not work out with him.
Now, why New York? Do you know?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Just so random.
Yeah.
Like, you're rich.
A Russian dude that wants to play in New York. Who knows, you know?
Yeah, it's just like Boston's not far from New York.
No,
but
for people, maybe there's a dream there. Who knows? For people that aren't from the United States, that they want to play in New York City.
Well, I got to tell you what, Panarin sounds like someone who's going to leap off the page. I mean, he's going to be the king of New York.
Maybe he sounds like there's a lot of endorsement deals for the bread man out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fred, you know?
All right.